What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 105. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about therapeutic drug monitoring of voriconazole, answer the drug information question, when alteplase is given for massive PE in a patient undergoing cardiopulmonary resuscitation, how long should CPR be continued, and share one of my top resources for keeping up to date with medical literature. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode105. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. My book, A Pharmacist's Guide to Inpatient Medical Emergencies, is now available on Amazon. Ever since I joined my hospital medical emergency team, I've been passionate about teaching other pharmacists how they can make a difference in patient outcomes by being part of the code team. Episode 1 of this podcast was about how fewer patients die in the hospital when pharmacists are members of the CPR team. Now, on the one-year anniversary of the Elective Rotation podcast, I am excited to make this book available for other pharmacists to learn and refine the clinical skill of responding to inpatient medical emergencies. You can find a link to the book in Amazon at clinicalpharmacybooks.com. The article I'd like to share on this episode is titled Risk Factors for Voriconazole-Associated Hepatotoxicity in Patients in the Intensive Care Unit. The lead author is Yan Wang, and this was published in Pharmacotherapy Early Access, July 2016. When voriconazole cannot be administered due to hepatotoxicity for infections such as invasive aspergillosis, salvage therapy with more toxic medications such as amphotericin is required. The authors of this study sought to identify risk factors for voriconazole-associated hepatotoxicity and to report the incidence of hepatotoxicity in critically ill patients receiving voriconazole. The study was a prospective observational study in a single ICU in China. The study included 63 adult ICU patients who had a length of stay longer than 3 days, received voriconazole treatment for at least 3 days, and had at least one voriconazole trough level. All patients received CYP2C19 genotyping. Liver function testing was performed before, during, and after voriconazole therapy. Hepatotoxicity occurred in 12 of the 63 patients. Multivariate Cox regression analysis demonstrated that hepatotoxicity was independently associated with voriconazole trough. There was a significant difference between patients with voriconazole trough levels of 4 milligrams per liter or greater and those with voriconazole trough levels lower than 4 milligrams per liter. The authors concluded that voriconazole trough was an independent risk factor associated with a greater risk of developing hepatotoxicity in critically ill patients with a potentially toxic target trough concentration threshold of 4 milligrams per liter identified for this complex population. The ability to predict and avoid hepatotoxicity from voriconazole has significant implications for the care of adult ICU patients on voriconazole. References such as Johns Hopkins Antibiotic Guide already identify voriconazole levels less than 1 mg per liter with treatment failure and greater than 5.5 mg per liter with encephalopathy. As a single center study, it'll be helpful for the results to be confirmed. Until then, it seems reasonable to attempt to keep voriconazole trough levels therapeutic, but under 4 milligrams per liter. Shout out to Pharmacy Andrew for posting the drug information question for this episode in the Pharmacy Nation Slack group. You can sign up for the Slack group at pharmacynation.org, and this is where hundreds of pharmacists collaborate together using real-time messaging to improve our ability to care for patients. So the question is, when alteplase is given for massive PE in a patient undergoing cardiopulmonary resuscitation, how long should CPR be continued? And I don't know that this question has a definitive answer. One reference from episode 17 on IV push TPA appeared to be split evenly between a time of 15 minutes versus 90 minutes, but exactly how long each patient received CPR was not clear. Pharmacy Z posted in the Slack group an article that suggested CPR be continued for 15 minutes or longer, depending on the judgment of the team. Finally, Pharmacy Chris presented a case where 15 to 20 minutes after IV push alteplase for PE, a patient has achieved return of spontaneous circulation. This sounds like a topic that would be worth discussing ahead of time with your critical care team to ensure everyone's on the same page. Based on what I've seen in this topic so far, I'd suggest waiting a minimum of 15 minutes after IV alteplase in a code before considering whether CPR should continue. I have all the links for that evidence in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode105. The resource for this episode is one of my key professional resources that I use to stay up to date with medical literature, and that's Pharmacist Letter. I've been a subscriber of Pharmacist Letter since 2002. I trust their advice to be relevant, current, and unbiased. One of the challenges of a hospital-based pharmacist is keeping up with new medications and indications in the community setting. I know that when I read the monthly Pharmacist Letter, I'll be on top of major developments in both community and hospital pharmacy. Pharmacist Letter has given me a link to share for a 30-day free trial of their product. If you sign up for the trial using my link in the show notes, Pharmacist Letter will compensate me with a $5 gift card. I hope you find Pharmacist Letter as helpful as I do. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just use the link at clinicalpharmacybooks.com to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.